Nee, helemaal niet. One very serious problem that most of us get involved in is matters that do not concern us. And then these matters that don't concern us, they will appear in different levels. To a layman, it will come to his level. To a person of education and learning, at his level. To a youngster, at his level. And to an adult, to his level. Some people came to ask one alim, what do you have to say about the dispute between Hazrat Muawiyah and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu? It's a layman, now he's speaking at his level. So this alim replied, what's your business? He says, I sell clothing. And what's your business? No, I sell shoes. So you go on selling your shoes, and you go on selling your clothing. On the day of Qiyamah, you're not going to be answerable for this. لَا تُسْأَلُونَ أَمَّا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ You're not going to be answerable for their deeds. Then why must you get involved in this? So this time that we have got is very, very precious. And then not valuing the time and getting engaged in talks that do not concern our akhirat, it does not concern this life, what fayda? Of what good? Some person asked one buzurg, and this person here, how come did you appoint him as your khalifa? The buzurgan ad-din, they have their deputies, person that they see capable and able to continue their work, then they appoint him as their deputy. So this person is called a khalifa. Someone asked, how did you appoint this person as your khalifa? So he says that when you lie down in the grave and Munkar Nakir come and question you about this, so you must tell Munkar and Nakir that I stopped you from asking this type of questions. You're not going to be answerable. They're not going to ask you about this in the Qabr. They're not going to ask you about this on the day of Qiyamat. Qabr, there's three questions. Ma Rabbuk, Ma Dinuk, Ma Kunta Taqulu Fi Hadha Rajul. On the day of Qiyamat, there are five questions. How you spent your time, how you spent your youth, where did you earn the wealth from, and how did you spend it, right? And how much you practice on the ilm. So these are the five questions that you will be asked on the day of Qiyamat. About your time, about your youth, about your earnings, and where did you spend them, how did you spend them, and how much did you practice on the ilm that you possessed. So these are the five questions on the day of Qiyamah. These are the three questions in the Qabr. You can sort these things out first. You need to rectify, you need to discuss, and you need to investigate, then go and get this thing sorted out, corrected. Now, these things are being neglected, they are sidelined, and then we get into issues that do not concern us. These Buzurgan ad-Din, they were so careful of their tongue. One janaza was passing by, so someone asked, whose janaza is this? So that buzurg replied, well, that's your janaza. And if you're not happy with that answer, then it's my janaza. In other words, now is past. He's past now. When he's past now, it's pointless now discussing now who's janaza, how he died, when he died, this, that. All that is not, he's not really relative any longer. Finished now. The chapter is over, the chapter is ended. Now you go and do your work. In other words, the trials and the tribulations that one has to go through, he's passed them all, finished. In this world, every person goes through some trials, whether it's business, whether it is children, whether it is wife, whether it is friends, whether it is whatever, but you will have some trials. So the trials that man normally goes through, he's completely, he's ended all the trials, no more trials now. He's finished all the trials. But as far as yourself, are you finished off with your trials? No, your trials are still not complete. You are still pending. He's ended. His chapter and his journey has ended. And your journey hasn't ended. It's still, your journey is still continuous. You're going to be stopped in one customs. They're going to ask you to produce your goods. They're going to ask you about doubtful things that you possess. Then you're going to stop at another custom. And they're going to ask you again. They're going to interrogate you. And you're going to it's going to continue. You haven't ended this journey. They have ended, finished, class. They ended. The story is over. So really, who needs to be more concerned is the people that are around. Those people have ended. They're gone, finished. The chapter, the journey is ended. Okay. So you see, each person will ask questions, and he'll ask questions at his level. In this age and time, the problem that we have, that is very common, the problem is very common. Everybody wants to fit in some circle of friends, or circle of ulama, circle of educated people, circle of wealthy people. He wants to be part of that club, he wants to be part of that circle. And in doing so, he will have to say he's 5 pence worth, so that he is counted from amongst the circle. Right? He doesn't think now, is this question that I'm presenting, is this question beneficial or not beneficial? Is it required? Is it worthwhile me saying this or not? He's not concerned about that. What he's more concerned about is that I must be acceptable to this circle. And for my acceptance, I must say something that is fascinating, something that is exciting, so that they will think that I am a very intelligent person, I am an educated person. So now just to be able to impress upon them, you're going to say something. Sometimes it happens that you turn out to be a stupid. So what do you get? You don't get anything. From those people, you don't get anything. And in your own akhirat, you don't get anything. So the more intelligent thing, the more wise thing is now to think that should I speak in this gathering or not? Now sometimes people don't understand this la yani, the things that don't concern you. There are some people that you should be cheering with, you should be joking, you should be talking informally. It's your wife, your children, small little children. There you're supposed to be speaking with them, and you're supposed to be speaking with them at their levels. Children and babies have their own language, so you have to be speaking to them in their language, mom. So you speak to them in that language. Now that's not called layani. It's your wife. You have to cheer up, but you can't be talking only by the book. You want something? No, I don't want something. I don't want anything. Because you're sleeping and she's sleeping. No. There you're going to speak something to cheer, and she's going to say something to cheer as well. Then there will be the circle of friends that don't mind the cheer. They require a little bit of cheer, a little bit of talk. Right? They don't mind it. Provided they don't mind and they don't take exception, then a little bit of cheering, provided you're not insulting, provided you're not taunting, you're not saying them something by way of inference, you're not trying to criticize them, condemn them, run them down, or humiliate them. So to cheer them, to make them happy, and to pick up their spirits, that as the idea, it's all right, provided they don't take exception to it. If you're not sure about it, then you rather keep quiet. Because you will have that intention, I want to cheer the person up, and here the person takes an exception to what you are saying, so rather keep quiet. Why get yourself involved? So you see this correct time management and abuse of the tongue. My mother, may Allah Ta'ala give her barakat in her life, she used to quote from her friend, Shura Mota's first wife, may Allah Ta'ala fill her grave with noor. So she says that the day she was getting married, Shura Mota's first wife, the day she was getting married, her brother, this Maulana Yunus Patel's father, he kept on telling her one thing, that Ben, whenever you have to say something or you do something, then think thrice. You do something or you say something, then think thrice. Don't just get into something, don't just embark into it. Think thrice. Is it the right thing? Is this the occasion? What will be the immediate outcome? What will be the immediate consequence? And what will be the eventual consequence? One is, you know, you have a short term, one is a long term. What will be the short term outcome of this? And what will be the long term outcome of this? Everything has a short term, it has a long term. You say something to someone, then it has a short term effect, or immediate effect. You told him a donkey, for example, you saw him, you abused him, so it has one effect. That is immediate, and that is the short term. And now one is the long term. Now how does it affect on him in the long term? I don't want to talk to you, you don't want to talk to him. He's feeling miserable about you. He feels that you insulted him, and how could you humiliate him? You didn't steal anything of his. Why must he speak to you like this? So you don't want to speak to him and he don't want to speak to you. So there is the breakdown of communication. But breakdown of communication because of what? Because of that one sentence that you made. One sentence you made, and it's a breakdown of communication. Just one sentence. So whatever you are doing, whatever you are talking about, then think about it thrice. Think once, then think the second time, and then think the third time. After you have thoroughly thought about it, now then open your tongue, or then embark onto something. Very seldom will you find that you have any problems. The problems you have generally is because we don't think. We just say something, or we behave in some manner, or we conduct ourselves and do things without thinking. And if you only thought, then you'll find a lot of problem areas can be ironed out. A lot of our monies can be saved. You know, even in spending money, we think twice, thrice. This craze that we have in this day and time, impulsive. You know, buying is also impulsive. So those people that have those type of stores, they understood your pulse. They have read your pulse, that you are impulsive. So they create the entire atmosphere in that way. It will just get you, will be just impulsive. You just want to buy it. You bought it. And later on, you open up your wardrobe and you investigate, you see three quarters of the things that you bought, you didn't need, you didn't require. Now why did I spend my money like this? But our problem is we don't think. We don't think once, we don't think twice. It must just come to our mind and we will do it, we'll buy it. We will make that commitment. Did I need to do it? I didn't need to do it. I can live, I am comfortable. Why must I get into it? Man is sitting quite comfortably. He's relaxed. He's leading a comfortable life. My friend comes about and he talks about the Mercedes, the latest model, and that he's going at about 1.5. These are the new features. I think I don't have that 1.5. I have half of that. I'll go to the bank. He gets himself tied up. At the moment he gets himself tied up, now they're going to attach one property, second property. Everything was working well. Now he has sleepless nights. In the day he's troubled. He's filled with anxiety. At night he's sleepless. But why? Why did you have to go into this? Did you think about it? If the man only thought about it, that I am comfortable, I am easy, I am relaxed, why must I get into this area here? But no, he's got it and he's talking so highly about it, I will not fit within that circle. Let me go and buy it. Let me just go and do it. Now you did it now, you can't reverse the thing. See? So this capacity that Allah has given us, this potential, this capacity, this ability to think, to reflect, to meditate, it's a very great thing, very great blessing it is. Very great blessing. And if you just apply it correctly, how much of comfort, how much of ease. Now look at that person, he's brought himself into problems. Now because he is living in anxiety, is going to bring him to the level of frustration. And then that frustration will have to show somewhere, sometimes on his wife, sometimes on his children, sometimes on his workers, sometimes on his friends. This frustration is going to show. See? Now they're going to complain about him. Why is this man like a hot potato? You don't know, he's like a hot, you know, he's like a time bomb. You don't know when he's going to explode. Why is he carrying on like this? But he started off in that note. So now this is the consequence for going in that note. Okay? Had you only thought correctly, had you only behaved correctly, had you thought and applied your mind, you wouldn't have got into this trouble yet. Not for yourself, not for your wife, not for your children, not for your friends, for nobody. Yes, it's just an imaginary thing. It's an imaginary thing. I will fit into the circle. I will seem to be a more respectable person. Why? I'm driving this type of motor car. It's just an imaginary thing. It's not a thing that is real. There's no substance in it. One person, he arranged for his daughter's nikah, and he did it, you know, he did it in style. Spent at least 30, 40 million. So Mawlana Qasim Naratwi Rahmatullahi went and visited him the following day. Asked him, "Bhai, congratulations, eh? How much of money you spent? Congratulations, congratulations, shabash, shabash, wah wah. What a great thing you have done. What an achievement. But I want to ask you one thing, that you made this type of commitment, you know, you spend so much of money, right? What you got out of this? You know, what you got out of this? The respect and that imaginary honor that you're thinking about, will anybody buy for 5 cents? You know, you think you got some respect and you feel you've got some type of honor because of this, some reputation. But will anybody bargain to buy this reputation that you bought for yourself? Will anybody buy it for 5 cents? Nobody's going to buy it. So why put yourself into that problem? Okay. So you see this not thinking, acting with impulsive. This is the problem in this day. And I say, this happens to everybody at their level. At a non-alim at his level, at an alim at his level, an educated person at his level. Sometimes you find now alims getting engaged in unnecessary questions, unnecessary. It's a topic that they don't need to get themselves engaged in. It's not a topic that you need to get yourself involved. Why must you get involved? Yesterday, at the Juma, one person came and asked me, they talked a lot about chickens on the radio. I got my freezers all filled up with chicken. What must I do? So now, it makes you think, this person is a non-alim. Now, how do you talk to him? How do you answer him at his level? So I asked him, "But if I call you to my house for an invitation, will you eat of my food?" He says, "Yeah, I will eat." So why won't you question where you got the chicken from and the chicken is halal or not? Why won't you investigate? He says, "No, because I trust you." So then I told him, so this whole thing revolves around trust. If you trust the person and you feel certain that this person is following Shari procedure, then you can eat. And if you are doubtful, you're not clear, then don't eat. You are convinced that this person is following Shari'i procedure, he's doing it in the right style, he's doing it the right way, then eat of it. You're convinced between you and Allah Ta'ala, you have no doubts. Then you eat and you enjoy. But if you are in a doubt, you're not clear about it, then don't eat, abstain from it, khalas. So it's so easy. I didn't think about it in this way. But it's just a matter of you applying your mind. This thing comes under Diyanat. And Diyanat, the fuqaha have explained, that if you are convinced that this person is telling you and is guiding you correctly, you wanted to know the direction of the Qibla, right? So you went and asked someone, and he gave you direction. So is it permissible for you to take the direction that he's given you? If you feel clear that the direction he's given is right, you can take his direction. The namaz of yours will be valid. That you can't. Nobody will say that the namaz will be invalid, because you were in a place, you didn't know the direction, and the only recourse was to ask. So you asked, and you asked sufficiently. You asked the person that you felt confident about. He gave you a direction. MashaAllah, very good. Now follow it. Carry on. Continue. Okay. But no, we don't feel happy until there's no fireworks. That's the problem. You must hear some fireworks and someone is shouting, someone is fighting, someone is running down someone. Then only do we feel happiness. Then do we feel satisfaction. Okay. So this is not Islam. It's fireworks and excitement and shouting and abusing, hurling abuse. That's not Islam. That's something else. Islam is respect. Islam is muhabbat. Islam has got order. It's got system. Don't you see our whole day, we got system and order, don't we have? Man got up, then he must say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'adama amatana. Right? Then there's a way to get up. How he must rub his face, and get up, then go and relieve himself. Right? System. He can't just go into the musalla straight. He can't just go and make wudu straight. If he's got an urge, now go and fulfill that urge. You see system, procedure. You got an urge, then don't go into the musalla straight. Right. Your namaz, you will get no sawab for. You got an urge, just made your wuzu and start performing your namaz. Now with that urge. So your mind is not in the namaz, it's in the toilet. So the Shariat is teaching you. Now this is how you're going to sleep. This is the posture you're going to sleep. You're not going to sleep with your feet towards the Qibla, for example. You're not going to sleep on your stomach. Okay. Shariat is going to tell you. So this is going to give you a complete procedure, complete breakdown it's going to give you. You're going to sleep in a state of paki, taharat. If you die in the state of taharat, then you die as a shaheed. You know, you made wuzu and then you went to sleep and you died in your sleep. So you died as a shaheed, Muslim Sharif riwayat. You made wuzu and then you went to sleep and in your sleep you passed away. So you died as a shaheed. Do you see now, sleeping also is a procedure. You read this dua here. Then you got up, there is a dua. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana. Another dua, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, la ilaha illa anta la sharika lak. Subhanakallahumma astaghfiruka li dhanbi wa asaluka rahmatak. Allahumma zidni ilma wa la tuzi qalbi ba'di thadaytani wa abli min ladunka rahma. So there are duas. How are you doing this? See now, you can only do these things if we extract those unnecessary areas from our lives. What is the dua, the new dua that you told me? Are you writing it down? Okay. This is our Hussein Mullah. His relatives were living in Marin Hill some years ago. So, the auntie was quite sick. And other ladies went to visit her. So she was quite sick, but at the time of her death, she did two things. At the time of her death, she wanted to know some du'as that are recited at the time of iftar. She wanted to learn them. And she got one of the ladies to teach her. I don't know this du'a, teach me this du'a. Some mehman came at the house and go and arrange for the meals, let them eat, and here she's learning this du'a. And in the process of her learning the du'a, her soul departed the body. She's learning the dua and her soul departed the body. Do you see how wonderful? The mehman came, she made arrangements. And she needed to learn this dua. She's engaged in learning the dua. And in that, while she's learning, her soul departed. What a beautiful way, you see. So now you got up now. Now you need to go to toilet, you go and relieve yourself. You need to have a bath, you go and bath. See all procedure. Our religion, our deen is teaching us procedure. You don't do things just on impulse. You don't just act on impulse. No, it's the procedure. You're going to perform that namaz, no namaz for you. Though an alim won't tell you to repeat the namaz, but you have no sawab, no reward for that. You have absolved yourself of the obligation, but no reward. What kya fayda? What fayda you got? Right. Then you have cleansed yourself, now go and perform wuzu. And wuzu also then procedure. Toilet also procedure, go in with the left. Come out with the right, read this dua. Then when you're in the toilet and you want to relieve yourself, you are undressing, then not just undress like that. Come closer to the ground and then undress. Don't just undress. That urine, you guide it into the pan. Don't let it fly everywhere and don't allow those splashes to come back onto you. See that the deen is teaching you everything. Don't face towards the qibla when you're in the toilet. Don't let your back be towards the qibla when you're in the toilet. Okay? Don't let that najis and impure water splash onto you. See, deen is teaching you all procedure. Then clean yourself. And when you clean yourself, you make sure that if there's any droplets of urine still in the passage, you know, so you have removed those droplets of urine standing up. Whichever other way, applying some tissue, waiting some time, and after all those droplets have come out, then you take your wuzu. So you see procedure. Not just doing anything, impulse, no. Now you're making wuzu now. Wuzu also procedure. Do your miswak first. Don't make miswak, then you're going to lose out. That reward is 70 times less. Miswak 70 times more. And without miswak 70 times less. Procedure. You're talking to a friend with a stinking mouth. Will he give you a warm reception? You just got up. When you get up, then there is a stench in the mouth. It's natural. Any person gets up from his sleep, then there is some stench in the mouth. And you're going to talk to a friend in this manner. Obviously, he's not going to give you a warm reception. So the procedure deen is teaching you, no, you're going to make miswak first. And then you're going to start off wuzu and with the procedure. First wash your hands, gargle your mouth, make miswak, clean your nose, wash your face. If you did it in reverse, the wuzu would be done, but no sawab. Why? You didn't follow procedure. You followed the procedure, now you got the reward. You didn't follow the procedure, no reward. See how much Rasulullah means to us. You follow him, you got the reward. You didn't follow him, no reward. Imagine you got the most pious buzurg in the whole of South Africa, right? And he comes to our masjid. Right? And all pious people, the whole masjid is full with pious people, to capacity, everybody. And in that namaz, in that tarawih, he read with itminan. In 3 days, he completed the whole Quran Sharif. So he had all the pious people, the most pious person. So much of Quran was recited. But he performed namaz in the wrong direction deliberately. Qibla is this side, and he performed namaz in the wrong direction. Anybody will tell you, you don't need a very sophisticated mufti sahab to tell you that answer. Is this namaz valid? Has he got any reward for it? No reward for it. Why? There is no reward for him? Because he didn't face the Qibla. One of the teaching of Rasulullah ﷺ faced the Qibla. So he didn't face the Qibla. So extend the same analogy. The same analogy, now you extend it. Now you come to the conclusion that the Rasulullah ﷺ is our Qibla in our entire lives. He's the Qibla, he's the direction. Who's Rasulullah ﷺ? He's the direction. Right? Now, we're doing things, but we didn't keep Rasulullah ﷺ before us. When we didn't keep Rasulullah ﷺ before us and we did things, is that work of yours going to get any acceptance? Making tasbih, zikr, whatever you're doing. But you didn't keep Rasulullah ﷺ before you. You're wearing clothing, you're interacting, doing business. But you didn't keep Rasulullah ﷺ before you. You just went and did as your mind led you. As you thought, you just carried on in that way. You left Rasulullah ﷺ and you carried on. Any reward? No reward. Why? The Qibla of your life was Rasulullah ﷺ. He is the Qibla. He is the compass. You're going to follow that compass, you're going to be directed. You're going to ignore that compass, You're going to be ignored. Really. You're going to follow that compass, that direction, then you will be rewarded. You will be guided. You will be protected. And you're going to ignore that compass. You're going to ignore that Qibla, Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi, then you're going to be ignored. You're going to be thrown away. أَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلْ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. This is my path. My path. Path of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi. Leads straight to Allah Ta'ala, leads straight to Jannah. So follow that path. In everything, in your temper, no, I lost it. By that moment also you must think now, what Rasulullah wants me to do? I have got feelings of jealousy. What does Rasulullah want me to do? I have got feelings of malice. What does Rasulullah want me to do? So both inner and external. You got Rasulullah as your Qibla, you got him as your direction. You got him as your leader. When you got him as your leader, if you want to honor him, you'll be honored. And you ignore him, you'll be ignored. So you're going to respect him, you'll be respected. And you're going to disregard him, you'll be disregarded. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ Washkuruli wala takfurun. Remembering Allah Ta'ala cannot be achieved without considering Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You can't get it. Namaz, and you didn't consider Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you haven't got it. Your Quran Sharif recitation, you didn't consider Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he brought the Quran Sharif to you, how he brought the namaz to you, how he brought the roza to you, how he brought the charity and sadaqah to you, and you went and did it. But you didn't follow my Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I don't care for you. So he is the Qibla. Like I said, everybody, the whole masjid, all pious people, there are 10 siparas, with qirat, tajweed, everything. Best of imam. But the Qibla was off. So you off, no reward. You, no reward. You crossed, you out. You crossed, you out. That is why Christians have a cross, because they out. They're not right. So that's why they cross it. From now, bichara, they know they're wrong. So they say it, they're wrong. But just that they carry on their wrong. They know that they're wrong. They crossed it. They know they're wrong, but they still carry on, poor chaps. So, أَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا. This is my path that is leading straight. Just follow me. Don't move away. You'll be thrown out. فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. You'll be thrown out of the path. You made a mistake, make istighfar, come back. But don't persist. Whether it was your temper, whether it was your tongue, whether it was your eyes. How Rasulullah would like me to do? Rasulullah is asking me, I must lower my sight. I must control my tongue. I must control my ears. That's what he's telling me. I mustn't just take information from anywhere and everywhere. That's his teaching. When that is his teaching now, and I'm doing anything, any information from anywhere. Eyes, I just use it anyhow I want. Tongue, I use it anyhow I want. And ears, I use it anyhow I want. Then that same, just keep that same example before you, that you left that Qibla, you left Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you're thrown out. You'll be disregarded, you'll be dishonored. You kept Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you'll be honored. You'll be respected, you'll be loved. Maybe a few people in the world will disagree with you. Their disagreement doesn't mean anything. They are not forever, they haven't brought you to life, and they won't take you out of this world, so they don't mean much to you. And Allah Ta'ala is Nabi Sallam, you can't do without. For a moment of your life, you can't do without Allah Ta'ala, and you can't do without Nabi Sallam. So he's the direction. When he's the direction, then just follow. Everything, just follow it. Allah Ta'ala, tawfiq.